You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach, and today we're going to talk about really the three-step process, the three ways, the three things you got to do to effectively create change in any organization. This is something we've talked about in other episodes. It's something we've talked about extensively inside of our program, and today I'm going to take a slightly different approach or look at it, because the reality is that a lot of us want to make change. We want to get things implemented. We want to get things dealt with. We don't like the culture. We don't like a process. We don't like something that our team's doing. Maybe it's you. Maybe you don't like something you're doing. Maybe you want to work out. Maybe you want to start shifting the habits of your everyday life. Today, we're going to talk about how you do that. What are the three steps? What are the three keys? What are the three things that have to happen? And these aren't just three items that you can throw into a bowl. They happen in order. They're specific. There is an order of events to them. One thing leads to the next. And each one of them is a stage, basically a learning time. I think a lot of us forget that in order to break a habit, it takes 30 days. In order to form a habit, it takes 30 days. That has been shifted to, in order to create new habits or to change habits, it's 30 days. It's really 60 days. It's 30 days of breaking the habit and 30 days of forming the habit. And it takes hyper-focus. It takes intense focus. My wife wants to start fasting. She is fasting. She's doing this fasting thing. It's a big thing. It's all over the internet. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're in a hole. Fasting is a big deal. Everyone's doing it. And she wants to do it. And it's not something that you talk about. It's not something you think about. It's something you have to do. It's a habit you have to break. You have to break all these habits of late night snacks and eating late and eating inconsistent. You have to break all those habits. And then as you're breaking those habits, you start to develop a new, kind of a new opportunity for new habits, an opening, a capacity, if you will. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, I think some of us want to create habits inside of our company, but we think we're in the stage of creating the habit, not breaking the habit, and we hold people accountable incorrectly. Like, we get frustrated. Like, hey, I told you I want three options on every call. I've told you now for a week. Hey, yesterday, everyone, I said I want yard signs in the ground, but nobody did it, and we're shocked. Well, first of all, you're the fool. You're the fool for thinking that that was going to work, that was going to be enough. Sometimes we're all the fool, right? We have poor expectations on what we're trying to implement or what we're trying to affect, and we don't go about it the right way. If we had better expectations, we probably would get better results than we're expecting, therefore releasing endorphins and invoking anticipation and hope instead of despair and failure getting us frustrated and upset. And some of us just say, well, screw it, it's not worth it. The guys will never learn. Or some of you go, my kids will never learn. Or others freak out. Why aren't you learning? Okay, this is what we see. If you can identify with that, you're in the right spot. We've all been there. We've all been there. How do we affect that change? Because here's, at the end of the day, so many companies hire trainers and stuff, and I even see in our own program, sometimes I talk to people and they're like, yeah, we just haven't had time to implement the training. And I'm like, that's the only thing you should have time for. Like, what? You're just basically repeating the same mistakes every single day until you implement the training. And it doesn't happen very often. We got a lot of accountability measures. We reach out and touch someone, if you know what I mean, when they're not implementing, because we want people to have success. We don't have contracts in our program, so hey, get in, let's do it, or get out and go do somewhere, whatever. But we don't want to just take your money. So why aren't you implementing it? Is this even for you? What are we going to do to go forward? That's really important, because I understand the frequency of consistency that has to happen in order for change to take place. I'm going to come into your company and teach your techs how to run the perfect call. I'm even going to show you how to schedule perfectly, how to price perfectly. I mean, we're going to show you everything. When you wrap your mind around that, that's a lot of stuff to implement. You know, people come in the program, they say, how long? I said, well, you know, you probably have a short-term goal and a long-term goal. And I used to ask, what's your short-term goal? What's your long-term goal? And I always got the same answer. Short-term goal was to increase revenue. Long-term goal was to get your life back. Short-term goal was to maximize calls, offer options, increase sales in some fashion, more revenue. And then the long-term goal was always freedom. Like, I want processes in place. I want to be scalable. I want to be duplicatable. I want the company to run on its own. I want to be able to go on vacation without the company. So it was always some answer like that. So when you look at those long-term and short-term goals, I can tell you, you get in our program, I promise you within the first couple of days, the first week, you're going to see instant results when it comes to revenue. You're going to see an increase in revenue. That's the good news. An increase in customer service. That's the good news. But as far as getting everything dialed in, that's going to take a couple years. If you really want to get this thing perfect, it's going to take a couple years of commitment, diligent, focused, doing it. And you shouldn't have any problem doing that as long as you're implementing the stuff, because you'll get instant results and you'll continue to get instant results. It just gets better and better and better. But what are the stages that are taking place inside of that to make that all happen? Well, the first one, and again, if you've been listening to me for a while, you've heard this before, but we're going to take a slightly different approach. The first one is you got to example it. Okay, if you're trying to get better, if you want to be someone in your own personal life that wants to work out or fast, you need an example. You need to know what that looks like. You need to know that you're even doing it right, or what you're supposed to be doing it. Now, a lot of times for the owners, they hire me and they go, oh, Chris will be the example. No, you are the example. I'm just the book. I'm a little bit more louder than a book, and I'm a little bit more maybe childish or goofier than a book. I goof around a little bit. But I'm just a book. You're the first student. It's up to you to be the most bought in. Buy-in is absolutely essential to affecting change. The way they get the buy-in is through an example. They got to see it. You be that first example. You sit down. You do the worksheets. You get involved. You take the training series. You apply it. And you hold them accountable to it, right? Like, because you were a student to that. You can now do that. And you're going to see how this plays out. But you can't hold people accountable to something you've never done. I mean, you can try. A lot of you will. But it's not effective. It's not effective. I remember when I first got in the trade, I came in from a different angle. I owned a business, sold it, had a local plumber ask me to help, came in, helped him with his shop, got revenue up, got things installed or implemented. But at the end of the day, the guy, the technicians, the plumbers didn't trust me until they saw that I could also go out and plumb. So I had to go out and do that. I had to go out and get into the field. I had to do things. I had to help them. I had to be a helper. I had to be an apprentice. I had to work my way up, figure out how to install things over the course of, I don't know, two, three years. Then after the company, we got the company sellable and they sold it. I came back 8 months later, ran that company for 3 years and still continuously had to prove it. I remember 1 year, the guys were like, can't make any money on frozen pipe calls. Can't make any money on frozen pipe calls. Can't make. And I was like, what with this? It's no different. It's the same thing. So I, for 2 weeks, ran those calls, all the frozen pipe calls. I ran them, converted them, fixed the frozen pipe issue. And now if I turned it into an all day job, I didn't stay for that. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna be real honest. I was the GM. I didn't have to. But they respected it at that point because I did several calls without them. Solved it, fixed it, plumbed it, moved on. Okay, I think we just have to be willing to do that. We have to be willing to be the example. We're not bigger than them. We're not better than them. Everyone's equal. We all put our pants on the same way every day. Okay, you're in a different seat on the bus. You're the owner. That's cool. That's awesome. It's got its perks. But you got to be the best student. You got to be the example. And you got to do it. If you're like, I'll listen to the training, but I'm going to step out and make this phone call in the middle of the training because I'm important and this is important. Well, then there's other things that are more important than the training. So now the guys are going to start leveraging their own priorities, their own life, and then decide what's more important than the training. A text back to their wife, text back to their kids. They missed something I said, gets halfway implemented. They only hear it once because you only play it once because 3 months later you're like, they're not listening to it anyways. I don't know why they're not listening to it. I remember I do live. So by the way, when you're in our program, every other week is live with me. You get that live interaction with me. And it doesn't matter how big we get, the way we have it set up, everybody comes into this virtual classroom. We're all on there together. You can see all the other plumbing companies. And I remember I used to look on there and I'd see some plumbing owners that would basically have me muted. And they would talk over me. And it's like, why'd you hire me? Sounds like you got it under control over there. Go ahead, coach away, teach away. And then they're like, they're not listening to me though. And I'm like, well, they can't listen to me because you're still talking, but you're saying they're not listening to you. And it's really not that crazy to think why they would listen to me over you. You're the parent. They're questioning your motives. I don't have any. I'm Uncle Tony. I'm just, you know, I just come, I say the same stuff you say, but they listen. Uncle Tony, he's got all the great advice. I go, yeah, well, you don't know Uncle Tony. I was his brother. You should have seen what he was doing as a kid. Then we start devaluing Uncle Tony. That's what you guys do. You get jealous or something. I don't know what it is. Pride? Doesn't matter. You want to be right, or you want to be rich? I remember my best friend's dad used to say that to me when I was younger. You want to be right, or you want to be rich? I've said this for years because it stuck with me. My best friend's dad, Corey Medina. Al Medina was his name. Corey was my best friend. Al was his dad. Now he used to say that, Chris, you want to be right or rich? He also used to tell my wife, you look in your checkbook and show me where you saved money. It's like always, like you just spent money. That was another life lesson. But do you want to be right or rich? And he broke it all down to me. This gentleman was, he got, I don't know, because of his trade and profession, he was around people like Zig Ziglar, Robert Kiyosaki. I remember meeting Robert Kiyosaki one time when I was 17, because of this guy. And anyways, just one of those guys, right? He's a motivational speaker, understood it. Would you rather be right or rich? And basically broke it down to me. He's like, look, you're either going to be right, and that's great. You can be right, but you're going to destroy relationships in the process of always trying to be right, and you'll never be rich. And rich isn't about money. Rich is about having a lot of people around you. And I was like, wow, that's powerful. I remember also watching a TikTok video just not that long ago, and some guy that drives around, he's a little bit of a jerk, but he drives around, he's like, what's your net worth? It's an interesting question to ask people. But anyways, he does it. I remember this old lady walked up to him in a really, like the Hamptons or something. She walks up to his car and she goes, you know, I'll tell you. She goes, relationships. That's what my net worth is. That's what my net worth has always been. And this lady was loaded. And I was like, it's so true, right? Relationships are where you're rich. In fact, one of our messaging statements is one relationship is all it takes. It's so powerful, the power of relationship. And think about all that, how all of that ties together. You know, are you a good example for your team? This can affect culture. If you go back to the podcast, I just dropped the last one where we talked about Hilton and the poor culture at that resort that I was at versus the culture at Disney World when I was there versus Southwest and I was on their airlines. If you follow me on the internet, you'll see I post a lot of photos of me traveling. You'll notice I probably sit near the front of the plane typically when I fly with other airlines. I'm particular. I like service. I eat at nicer places, not because I think I just prefer consistent, better service. That's what I geek out on. It's my thing. Well, what can we learn from all that? Well, we can learn that, yeah, you have to be an example. Yeah, you have to have an example. But the leader is that example. And real leaders that don't have an example go put one in their life so they can become that, whatever it is they're trying to be better. We talked about it. Kobe Bryant did it. Michael Jordan did it. All the greats do it. They constantly get better. They learn from other people that are better. Okay, your team needs to learn from you. I can be the source of information. Some other trainer can be the source of information, but you have to example it. You have to dig in. Then number two, you have to draw a line in the sand and say, this is what we're doing. Too many times you push play on the training for a week or two, and then you walk away and you stop doing it. You never break habits. You never form habits for your company, so your team can never buy in. And how many times have you told your team, hey, look, we're doing this now, and then you don't do that. You don't stick to that. So they don't trust it. Look, I remember one of the technicians was, you know, I could tell it was a rough shop visit. You know, sometimes I come to the shops and the guys don't always like me, right? Because they don't know me. I'm just on the internet and they see I'm 5'6" and they're like, oh, I could beat this dude up. And then they get all bold with me. It's never awkward. But, some guys, they push back. They want to know what my real, have you ever been in a truck? Do you know anything about plumbing? Like, that's what they want to know. I get that. I was on one shop visit. This one guy, he was kind of like defending me, and I was talking to him on the side. I was like, bro, I feel like we connect or something. And I was like, but you're so standoffish in the trainings. And he's like, look, man, we've had other people come through here. And if you're gone in a couple weeks and I'm the only guy that liked you, they're just going to make fun of me. And I'm like, wow, that caught my ear. Like, okay, there's a coolness factor to this. So the more that you're bought in, the more they can see that and the more it sticks, you're like, this ain't going away, the easier it is for them to then agree to that. And then once one or two agree, the rest join. I'll reference another video on the internet. There's a video of this guy from the 70s dancing at some concert and he's all by himself. And it's like a good 4 or 5 minute awkward by himself dancing moment where everyone's videoing him. It's from old school. I don't even know. The video must have been like the size of that big old piece of meat in the Fred Flintstones car. Like, the camera had to be huge. He probably had a whole team with him, whoever this guy was. But anyways, he's filming this dude out there dancing all awkwardly. And finally, someone joins him. I'm sure you've seen this video. It's like on a really steep hill. And so, someone joins them, and then all of a sudden, only a minute or two go by before the third person, and it's only like 10 seconds between the, and all of a sudden, it's a constant flow of people joining, and this crowd gets, everyone's dancing. And you know, why? Because the awkwardness went away. Someone stepped up into the awkwardness. There's always somebody on your team willing to do that. Somebody that's bold, the goofy one, the class clown, they'll step into it, and then other people can follow that. You got to be the first one. Okay, that's drawing that line in the sand. You're an example, and then you're resolved. You're burning the ships, right? The old quartet. You're burning the ships. There's no going back. You have to do that. You have to commit to that. You almost have to die in that bed. And then the last one is hold people accountable. That's the hardest part. But at the same time, it's the easiest part when you're the example and you draw the line. Like if I can come in at 8, everyone can be here at 8. If I can get here at 7:30, everyone can get here at 7:30. I got 8 kids. If I can sit through a training without any disruptions, you can sit through a training without any disruptions. If I can find a way to show up to work every day of the year, you can find a, like, you have to be that example. It removes excuse. You draw a line in the sand to say we're resolved. Everyone's doing this. Now you can hold people accountable to it. With ease. Doesn't mean they'll all fall, everyone, you know, it is what it is. Can lead a horse to water. But the resolve is there, and they see it and they feel it. And you've positioned yourself as an authority on showing up, going through training, whatever the changes you're trying to make. I was an authority on frozen pipe calls because I ran them and I turned them into calls, and I removed all, and I had my other duty. Like, I had other things going on. For those that are in our program, I was also running the service manager role, which is a whole thing. So that, just to put a little perspective on that. So, I mean, what's your excuse? Why can't you go to the trainings? Why can't you be the best student? Why can't you be the example? Why can't you run a call any day of the week and show them how it's done? Because you don't know how to? Well, then you got to be the best student. Maybe you don't think you should have to. Maybe you're above that mentally. Maybe you think you're better than that. Well, here's what I'll tell you right now. If you truly want to get out of the truck, you truly want to get out of the office, maybe you're not in the truck anymore and you're running a 10, 12-man shop. We've got companies that come in right now. They have 20 techs, 15 techs, 30 employees, 40, 50 employees, and they're still in the business. They're still inside the business. And it's harder to get them out of the business than the guy with just 2 guys, believe it or not. Because they're too interwoven. They're bottlenecking everything. And so how do we get that? If you want to get out of that truck, you want to get out of that office, you want to get out of being in the business, step up and be an example. Take the time to actually get things implemented and stick, make sure they're sticking. Monitor your KPIs to know when they're not, your dashboard, your oil pressures, your whatever, so that you can make sure that you're only spending your time inside your business when needed, not when unnecessarily needed. You're not getting drug in with emotion. You're entering with logic. That's the big difference. And then you can have control of your life. This is what we teach people every single day. This is what we do. This is what our, I mean, we have companies, we've got a huge chunk of a Roto-Rooter in our program. We've got small one-man shops in our company. We've got homegrown 30, 40, 50 truck shop, employee shop, truck operations. I can't speak right now. The point I'm making is no matter where you're at, we can help you, but the longer you wait, the harder it is to help you make these modifications and make these shifts. Go to theplumbingsalescoach.com, fill out a request form, we'll give you some information. We'll probably invite you to a free training and let you experience some of this stuff and get a taste of it. We're like the people at the mall where we hand out chicken because we know our chicken's good and you're coming over to our booth. But we want you to taste it first because everyone's afraid to go to the booth. So that's what we do. Reach out to us. We'll help you out. I promise. We got new software dropping, an AI software that diagnoses and builds options in the home. I've seen it. We've tested it with a few companies. It's sick. I can't wait to release that. And really quick, we're doing a huge, huge special right now where if you check into our programs, you're going to find that software. You can essentially get that software for free forever, but it's a short-time deal, so you'll have to check into that. Reach out to us. Let us know, theplumbingsalescoach.com, and we'll get you that information. We love you. And as always, remember, serve your community in everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.